Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude. Another week.
Yep.
Another homestand.
Yeah.
But this is not like any other homestand we've ever had.
Ever?
Never.
Okay.
This is a first, dude, because...
What's new?
And it's not all about the hockey.
Okay.
I've got a big announcement.
Okay, dude, go.
You already know this, but you're going to act surprised.
I will act surprised because this is radio.
There's going to be a new member to the podcast coming soon.
Dude? Yes?
I hope you're ready.
Okay.
For the first dude child.
Dude spawn.
The spawn of this dude.
Dude, congratulations.
Is coming soon.
Dude, that's awesome.
I know, dude. It's crazy.
Right around 2012 playoff
that's
time.
That's right. The baby could have a worse due date right in the middle of the second round of the playoffs. I told my wife, I said, listen, the due date's April 29th. I said, listen, I might be late if it's in the evening.
Yeah, if it's like if they're playing the Red Wings and it's game 7, then I might not make it. Yeah.
She's like, my water just broke. I said, they're on the power play. You're going to have to wait.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude, no, my wife is pregnant and it's almost 5 months now and we found out we're having a baby girl Sharks fan. So
it's going to be awesome.
Dude, I'm so stoked. We had the ultrasound yesterday. This is the... You know, the first time we saw the baby, it was like 6.5 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like a Skittle.
Right.
Like a Skittle, like a blinking Skittle from like one of those dots that Pac-Man eats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what you're looking at there. You're like, okay, that's a kid, all right?
Sort of.
Right.
Allegedly.
Okay, that's mine, I guess. It looks like a Skittle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time, we just heard the heartbeat, and it was fired up. Like, the baby was all fired up.
And now you know it's
and
a girl.
And now we know. We saw the lady parts.
Too much detail.
Yeah.
But thank you for that.
Well, basically what happens, you know.
Well, yeah, that's
I saw her brain.
Okay.
It was impressive.
Okay.
She definitely takes after my wife.
Okay, good.
The spine. It was cool, dude.
All the major neurological
all the
pieces.
Listeners who have kids, you know what I'm talking about. Like, this process is pretty sweet. So this will add a new element of drama to the podcast as the listeners experience my journey to fatherhood as the Sharks march to the Stanley Cup. But based on how they play tonight and Thursday, that might be a very slow, painful, and traumatizing march. Dude, not a good loss tonight against Florida. Let's start with this game.
Okay. Dude, you don't want to hear my news?
What's your news, dude?
Dude, I'm going to be a Shark for a day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Dude. I know. Oh, I'm having a kid. Everybody
I'm so
drop
sorry.
Everything.
Don't let my child overshadow your news.
Don't overshadow the news that I'm paying an extreme amount of money to put on a Sharks jersey and play in the middle of the day with Jeff Odgers.
You are right. That is more important. Dude, this is exciting, and it's been something I've been encouraging you to do for a while now.
Right.
And you told me Thursday night that you thought you were going to go for it. I was like, awesome. It's time, dude, to skate out through the Sharks' head. And go side by side with Al Iafrady.
Yeah.
Rushing down the ice. Don't go too fast because he's really fat now. I saw him last year at the Fantasy Cap. Just be careful.
He's like Keith Kachuk
fat. Yeah,
that.
He definitely has been enjoying his off time. Awesome, dude. So when is this?
It's in March. So I signed up. I'm, you know, I
you're
I,
done. You signed up.
I signed up, yeah.
You're committed.
I emailed the person. And I asked if there was availability, and well, the person's name was Kelly, so I don't actually know if it was a man or a woman, but let's just say it's a woman. Just for
I'm gonna say yes,
just for fun.
Okay.
And so I emailed Kelly, and I said, "Okay, I'm in." So I sent the registration, and I'm getting, you get like a customized shark jersey. You have a morning skate, you have breakfast, you, and then you have a game at around noon, and you skate out through the shark's head, and then you get tickets to that night's game. It's like a whole day thing. So it's going to be cool. And I can have guests at the game part.
Yeah.
So are you going to come
of
and,
course.
And watch me fall down when,
yes.
When Brett Hedekin passes
I'm
me the
gonna
puck?
I'm going to probably make a sign that says, dude, you suck.
Yeah.
And stand on the glass. I'll be those people beating on the glass. Dude, should I wear the all blue spandex suit?
Yes. That would be cool. You could be like the spandex, like the green men in Vancouver.
Yeah. Can anybody come? Can the listeners come watch you play?
They could. I would have to put their names on the list.
Well,
so you could let me know. And
I think
could
if you, when we get closer, I think if you want to come, I think you got to come hold the dude sucks sign. Now, this is the important question. The jersey?
Yeah.
On the back? What's it going to say?
It's going to say dude. That's on the registration form.
So
and I put
awesome.
Dude.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
It's good.
That's great.
Yeah, so that's
going to
be a lot of fun.
I'm stoked for that. Your news is exciting, not nearly as life-changing as mine.
No.
But both monumental.
Not even close.
Now, let's get down to business.
Okay.
The Florida game tonight. We walked into the tank. I had a feeling this game could be a blowout. I thought the Sharks, Florida plays last night in L.A. This is a game where the Sharks have been sitting at home. They might be feeling pretty good about stealing a point against Montreal.
Stealing two, really.
So they could come out and smoke them. And it looked like in the first 10 minutes, even though Florida got a goal, the Sharks were pretty dominant.
Well, the Sharks scored in the first 2 minutes.
Right. They had some great possession time. Florida looked like they were not going to be able to stop Joe Thornton or anybody behind the Hans Zeus, anyone who was working behind the net. They had no answer for it. And then, dude, it completely fell apart.
Right.
It was like a Keystone Cops display tonight by the Sharks in some areas, led by Thomas God-awful Grice.
The shame train of mistakes commenced around midway through the first period, and I mean, it was just, it's hard to assign exactly who's to blame on each of the goals, but there was a lot of mistakes made. At least one or two were directly Thomas Grice's fault, and Douglas Murray had a terrible mistake. Dan Boyle had a bad mistake. It's Colin White. I mean,
well, Colin White literally passed the puck into Marco Sturm's chest, which is really about the only way Marco Sturm can score these days.
Right.
Is if you put the puck like in the middle of his stomach.
I think all of Florida's scorers, with the exception of the Thomas Fleischmann goal, were by guys who had less than three goals the entire season.
Yeah.
So basically, there were gifts. We were serving up gift platters, gift baskets, if you will, holiday gift baskets to various Florida Panthers players. And they accepted those gifts and scored.
Yeah,
the shorty was really
brutal.
Yeah,
the shorty was brutal. I mean, Boyle just coughed it up to Jack Skilly. And Dan Boyle, God, you know, for him being our favorite player, you know, and he still is.
And you're wearing a Dan Boyle jersey right
Boyle
now.
Jersey right now. He couldn't have had a worse stretch of games. I mean, he's been pretty bad for a few games in a row now. He just looks like he's lost. He doesn't. His game is gone on both ends of the ice. Like he just doesn't seem to get anything going.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad for him. I certainly expect that he's going to snap out of it. And, you know, like players in most sports, you go through a rut or a slump, and Boyle's in a slump right now. And unfortunately, Douglas Murray's in one too. Murray, that first goal on the penalty kill, when Sharks are up 1-0, Murray has it in the corner. And he delayed in getting rid of the puck and ends up losing it. And then the Panthers score.
Right.
When Grice can't even move his hand like to stop the puck. That he should have got that, dude.
I think he should have got that.
And Murray was standing there too.
I couldn't tell. It almost looked like on the replay that Murray actually interfered with Grice's glove, which is possible. It was a complete mess. Any way you slice it. I don't know exactly how you want to slice the blame up, but it was just a terrible sequence. All in all, the Sharks looked like they had sorted out the PK somewhat, and then all of a sudden, just everything fell to pieces. this giveaway, there's a scramble, no one knows what they're doing, Grice can't hold the, can't put his glove down on the puck even though it's moving at like 1 mile per hour, and they score, and then the Sharks sort of just fell out of rhythm after that, and they never gained it again.
Yeah, I think for me right now, this is their most disappointing game of the year. I was really disappointed in how they lost to a team that is playing very well. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But I still, dude, I don't know. Maybe I'm a bad person, but I just, I don't buy it. Like, I don't buy it. I watched them tonight. I don't buy it. Like, I saw.
When you see a top line of Thomas Fleischmann, Chris Versteeg, and Steven Weiss, three players that have basically been jettisoned from multiple teams, with the exception of Steven Weiss, who has been sort of this guy that Florida has expected to be a decent first-line player, has sort of never happened. Thomas Fleischmann was extracted from Washington, extracted from Colorado. Chris Versteeg was kicked out of Chicago and then kicked out of what, Boston? What was the other place?
No, he went from Chicago to Toronto. He's been on four teams in 2 years.
Right. So all of a sudden, these guys, this sort of ragtag bunch, all of a sudden, they're like lighting up the league. You're right. I mean, they're scoring at a pretty amazing pace, and Fleischmann had maybe two points tonight, but you can't imagine that this is going to continue indefinitely, right? I mean, This is just sort of like these guys got hot, and You're going to see them cool off.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they look good tonight, and every mistake we made, they capitalized on it, and that's what good teams do, and that's what they did. And the Sharks should be embarrassed tonight by their effort against a team they should have won, and coming out of some tough games against some good teams like Vancouver and Chicago and LA, you look at the Montreal and Florida games at home and you say, these are two games they should get 3 points or at least four, you know, get 4 points out of, and they barely beat Montreal.
Right.
And they got embarrassed tonight. You know, 5-3 maybe doesn't look as embarrassing as it was, but it was embarrassing. Like,
they just coughed it up. They were up 2-1.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you knew, it was 4-2.
They totally blew it. And if you're going to be a team that's going to contend for a title, you can't do that at home against a team that's coming off a back-to-back. Like, they just got to town.
Right.
And now they're making you look stupid?
Yeah.
It's not good. Right. You know, and to see some of the best players struggling and then, you know, McClellan trying to mix things up in the third period. So he moves McGinn off the only line that was like really good most of the game, which is that Hanzus line.
The second line wasn't bad.
No, they weren't bad either, but you know, Hanzus and McGinn connected on that first goal.
Right.
Right? And then he takes him away from Hanzus. I just don't and he put him up with Jumbo and nothing was happening.
Right.
I don't know. It's like if Jumbo's line sucks, then don't play them. Play the other line.
Right. Right.
Florida's team is basically all third lines anyway, so God. This one other thing before we talk about the Montreal game. Why does everyone still obsess, not everyone, it's probably about 200 people, but 200 people tonight.
It's pretty loud.
Okay. Why does everyone feel compelled to boo Brian Campbell? Can someone explain that to me? Like, what? Why are we mad at him?
It's the Ed Belfour syndrome. He had the opportunity to stay, and he deliberately didn't.
So, because he took a redonkulous amount of money?
Right.
Like, we're supposed to begrudge him that? Why don't we boo Manny Malhotra?
I was booing Steven Weiss. Yeah. I'm not really sure why, but I just was.
I'm asking, why don't we boo Manny Malhotra? He did the same thing.
You're right.
Shouldn't he be booed? He should be booed more.
Yeah.
He should. So now I'm starting a new thing. We should boo the one-eyed Manny Malhotra.
That's rough. You're right, though.
I just think it's stupid. It's been, what, 4 years?
And without him, we wouldn't have gotten Boyle.
Right. I would rather have Dan Boyle than Brian Campbell, even the crappy Boyle.
Yeah, even the unfortunately now, struggling
and Brian
Boyle.
Campbell's a good player, and he looked good tonight, and he played well for Florida. He's doing great. He's having a great season. But I'm certainly not mad at him.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's like, whatever. You took a ton of money, dude. Good for you.
Right.
I can understand booing him on Chicago, but on Florida, who cares?
Right.
Come on, everybody. Let's move on.
One more Florida note, dude. We tweeted. We had this conversation before the game. I was looking at the roster, and we had the conversation about how basically the first line is all a bunch of cast-offs, and we can't, you know, they don't really have like a premier player. This right. isn't Pavel Bure we have on Florida these days.
Yeah.
And so I tweeted, I said, so we had this conversation. We decided, you know, if we could pick one player on Florida that we would put on the Sharks right now, we picked. And then we tweeted it and we said, hey, everybody, who would you pick? And so we got some answers. And so I'm pulling open my phone right here because that's the best way I access the Twitter machine. And so we got a couple answers. And Tom said, if I can guess who you guys picked and why, can I get a Dudes on Hockey t-shirt?
Yeah.
Which is a bold move.
Yeah.
By Tom.
Yeah.
But as I tweeted back to Tom, I like that kind of hustle.
Yeah.
It's good hustle. Yeah. So let's go to Tom's email, because I said, if you can email us and pick who we picked, then you get a free Dudes on Hockey t-shirt, because these are not available for sale. They're not available on the market.
That's right.
All right. Because didn't we get an email this?
We did, asking us to put them on sale and they could customize them.
Right.
You're not going to do it.
No.
Why not?
I'm not going
to
do it.
You want it to be exclusive.
I do. Oh. It's limited edition.
Wait, don't you want an army of Dudes on Hockey people walking around? Like Brent Burns jerseys? They've like exploded.
I do want people.
I'm naming my daughter Brent Burns, by the way.
Wow.
Brent Burns.
Santana.
No.
Oh.
You're gonna I'm losing my whole last name. I'm just going to go wow. Brent. Just first Brent. Girl just ever Brent named Burns. Brent. Yeah.
That would be great. Yeah.
And her middle name will be Mustache.
Wow.
Yeah, she can be really popular.
Speaking of mustache, that is not an attractive mustache, but I digress. All right. So anyway, but the question was, wait, we
got
to go.
Now he's got two emails, dude. You got to go back to the first one. You had the first one, dude. You had the first one.
Which one was it?
Dude, go up. Go. It's the second. Got to go up, dude. What's the matter with you? It's that one. No, lower.
Dude.
Lower, a little to the left, a little to, dude, you got it right there, right? You're in the
sweet
spot.
So I'm going to Tom's guess. I'm sorry. I'm very scattered after the loss tonight. So Tom says, here's my guess. I figured since you asked the question, you both had an answer already before asking.
That's true. We had the discussion.
Which is true because we didn't want to be, you know, swayed one way or another by good listener input.
Right.
Which actually totally happened, by the way. You both haven't hit the fact you believe the Sharks need a winger. Cutting to the chase, that narrows it down to probably Sean Bergenheim or Thomas Kopechke because they're both wingers that play the PK. I'm going to go with Thomas Kopechke because he's a player that fits in that role, although I think he's overpaid. He's big, good on the PK, and pitches in offensively. I'm either 100% accurate or foolishly wrong. Okay, which is Tom, 100% accurate or foolishly wrong?
I wouldn't say foolishly wrong, but he's wrong.
He's unfortunately wrong.
Yeah, I don't think... There's many players on this team that actually would be useful on the Sharks. I do believe that. But the player that I picked is the player that I think is the best player on that team. And that I
wasn't even suited up.
No. And who I would want on the Sharks, but actually probably wouldn't even be useful now or maybe not even next year. But it's Jacob Markstrom or Jakob Markstrom. I think it's Jacob Markstrom.
And a couple of different people tweeted at us picking Jakob Markstrom. Zero Indulgence was the first. Yeah. And we had, I don't know, I can't read this name, Arthur Domini, whatever.
The reason why I picked him, dude, is because I think this guy, by all accounts, is going to be a franchise goalie. Mm-hmm. And he's like 22 or something like that.
Right.
So if you can get an elite player, not like just a player like Kopechke, who might be able to help the Sharks win now, and then you don't really want him next year. Like
right.
He's been cast off from so many teams in the last couple of years.
I mean, he was supposedly going to be that third line stopper in Vancouver, yeah. And that didn't really work.
Now, so I would pick Markstrom just because if you can get your hands on a Nugent Hopkins type player,
right.
You take him. Like, right. You take him. Even if you don't need him now, you take him. I mean, you look at what happened with Boston last year with Sagan. Sagan was nowhere near the Sagan he is this year,
right.
As he was last year. He's a star player.
And I was very close to picking Eric Gudbrandsson, who was one of their top picks. I think he was a top five draft pick for them. But Tom, you should have trusted yourself because you tweeted back at us. Let me read your tweet. You said, Tom would say probably Garrison, not because we need him, but because those guys are so hard to get. I picked Garrison. I picked Jason Garrison. That was my pick when we had this discussion before the game.
Right.
Jason Garrison might be one of the most underrated players in the NHL. He is an awesome shutdown defenseman, has great stats over the last couple of years. He's still relatively young, extremely underpaid. Yeah, I think the Sharks...
Eight goals.
Yeah, and he's got a heck of a shot from the point. He almost scored like on one of the first two or three shifts of the game. Yeah, I think the Sharks could use a guy like that, frankly. Colin White, hello, upgrade. You know what I mean? So, obviously, I have a certain personal eye for defensemen. So, you know, Jason Garrison would be my pick. So, sorry, Tom, you were close. You should have trusted your own pick because we were right along the same lines. So, there it is. But a good call. Good try. But not quite there.
Dude, we're going to talk about the Montreal game. This is going to be a long podcast. I can already feel it.
Yeah.
I can feel it. The Montreal game was also, I think, was, you know, like a good fight. Punch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Sharks were getting punched first, and then they would punch back.
I did really appreciate that because there's been times in years past where the Sharks would give up a goal, and they'd sort of not look very good, and then sort of the game would get a little bit out of hand, and the Sharks would really have to sort of fight to get back in it. And this time it seemed like they were able to respond quickly.
Right.
Like Montreal would score and then the Sharks would score right away. And it's like, okay, we're not going to, you know, you always hear that cliche. The next shift after a goal is the most important shift, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? But frankly, the Sharks played really well on those subsequent shifts after the goals. And in at least, I think in the first goal's case, it was the subsequent shift. It was like a minute later that they scored and tied the game up because the Sharks were dominating in the first period. And then Montreal scored some like weird, cheesy goal, you know, based on some blown coverage or whatever it was. And then everybody sort of, the wind came out of everybody's sails. You could sort of feel it in the arena. And then the Sharks just punched back. They said, okay, no, we want to get back in this game. So I was pretty heartened by that.
Yeah, I think Montreal is a pretty good team. I don't think they're a great team. They're a team that's really struggling. They might have the next coach that's going to get fired.
Yeah, I've been reading that on Puck Daddy.
So I wasn't that pleased with the fact that they couldn't stomp on a team that is really struggling. I mean, that lost the night before, right, in Anaheim, you know, to maybe one of the worst teams in the NHL.
Not quite.
Well, they have one of the worst records.
Yeah.
And then they come up here and really give the Sharks a fight. I was a little disappointed by that. So I'm not really very happy with the last two games. And I think the Sharks look pretty out of sync. And honestly, if they can't get it together, this next week is going to be not good. I mean, they're really going to struggle against Minnesota, a team that plays a defensive system, a gimmick. It's working right now, and it didn't work last time Minnesota came to town. But if the Sharks are playing not at their top of their game, Minnesota is going to shut them down. And then they'll struggle against Dallas, too.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can figure it out in the next couple games, dude.
No, you're right. I mean, it was nice to see them come back and get that point, score the tying goal late in the game, and then have a sort of a long shootout and score. And I mean, I thought Niemi wasn't that great in the shootout. Hello, Carey Price, not great in the shootout. That was nice.
Except for he's our goalie on one of our fantasy teams, so not nice.
Who cares?
The second line, dude, has been reunited in terms of Couture, Havlat, and Klo. Thoughts on them in the last two games?
Well, we do have an email about that. So Paul was able to sort of anticipate this move.
Paul's first email.
He said, this is my first email. It's like, Paul, you've never sent an email before? It's like, really? His first email.
First steps.
That's strange that he would send his first email in 2011 and then send his first email to us.
We're flattered.
People he doesn't even know.
We're flattered.
Doesn't even know us. All right. This is my first email, and I'd like to start by thanking you guys for all the work you do. I've been listening for a long time now, and your podcasts are always enjoyable. I have a question for you guys this week. Oh, he's living in New York.
And nice.
His podcasts are even more important than ever.
Paul, we're coming to New York.
We'll see you there.
We will be there after Christmas, our annual trip.
Maybe we'll catch you in that New York place.
Hey, yeah. You mean the NHL store?
We might be there.
We will be stalking EJ Roddick.
And Bill Pedo.
Who? Oh.
What about Deb Placey?
Yes.
Hello. Do you think Ryan Klo would be better served playing with Couture again? He's in a goal drought, and I think his constant babysitting over Couture last year really drove him to have a great year. Yeah, Paul, we were right in sync with you, and it seems like the coaching staff was with you. And we've certainly seen a lot better things, including tonight, frankly, out of the second line with Couture, Havlat, and Klobuchar back together. I know maybe we said on last week or the week before that we didn't really understand this sort of shakeup with Havlat on the third line and things like that. So, no, I think it's the right call. I mean, those guys seem to have a certain amount of chemistry.
I understand what McCullen did by moving Marlowe to the second line center. And this is the question that I have. I think offensively, the team is better when Marlowe's playing with Joe and Pavs. And then you've got Couture, Klo, and Havlat together.
Mm-hmm.
Havlat on the third line is doesn't make any sense to me. That's like last year Heatley on the third line.
Right.
Like, they're just miscast.
Mm-hmm.
So now the problem is with this, offensively they're better. Defensively they're worse. I mean, because
right.
I worry, and we saw this against Pittsburgh, and we didn't see it against Vancouver because they were playing Marlowe second line center,
right.
Is that can Couture really defend an elite center, which is what he'd see when they play either Vancouver. He would have a problem against Boston. He'd have a problem against Detroit. You know, is this going to work? You know, mm-hmm. And I want it to work. But defensively, you know, Marlowe's better, you know, at that.
Right, right.
So that's going to be the give and take here, you know, and how will McClellan stay with this if we play Vancouver or another elite team again? What's he going to do?
Right, because the center position is a much more defensive position than either of the wingers. I mean, the wingers sort of, they don't just necessarily fly out of the zone when the puck comes into the Sharks' possession, but the center definitely has a lot more responsibilities on the defensive side of the puck than either of the wingers do. And Couture versus Marlowe is a big change. And you're right, if it's Couture versus Kessler and Kessler is creating offense and Couture can't defend against that line, then that's a huge problem.
Right.
And if it's Malkin on the second line in Pittsburgh and Crosby on the first line, that's a huge problem.
Right. And we saw that in that Pittsburgh game, and that's where the change happened. So I think my opinion is that they should roll with it. And even if he struggles, they shouldn't change it. He's got to play the position at an elite level to get better. They mm-hmm. might suck for a little bit.
Right.
On the defensive end. But I think you gotta let him do it. You can't keep sheltering him. So you got to go for it. Let him take his lumps. Now, if it's not working for several games in a row, then you got a big decision to make. Because
mm-hmm.
when you mix up the lines, it doesn't seem like the chemistry's there.
Right. I mean, the Thornton-Pavelski chemistry definitely seems to be there. And I do like the Couture and Klo chemistry. And I think you want to keep those pairs together.
Right. And Havlat completely disappeared when he wasn't with
right.
Couture.
Mm-hmm.
And now you put him back. Now he had a pretty good game against Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he was not bad tonight either. You know, I don't think he showed up on the score sheet, but
no.
They need to roll with it. They should just let it be.
All right, dude, you got lots of I know we're quite a few minutes into this podcast,
dude,
and you got plenty of things on your list.
Lots of things to talk about, dude.
All right.
Justin Braun returned to Worcester.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, like I wrote on the blog, this is a guy that we've said several times that we want to play every night, whether it's in the NHL or in the AHL. So if he had dropped his status down to that sixth, seventh defenseman role with Jim Vandermeer, Colin White, sort of in that big pool of guys that you might go to or might not, I agree with the move of sending him back to Worcester. You want him to play a lot. You want him to play in all situations. You want him to play with different players. It's the right call. And Jason Demers, I guess, is good enough at this point. Justin Braun certainly was better than Jason Demers early in the season, but that differential has seemed to have closed over the past 10 games or so.
Will Braun be back this year?
Yes, I think so. I you know, someone's going to get a little bit banged up, and there's no reason to try and play somebody hurt, so I think Braun can come back up, sure, especially if he's exempt from waivers.
Right.
I see that.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was back and sort of in that. If he's playing well in Worcester, if he's back and they kind of throw him in Matt Carl style, mm-hmm. and he just takes Demers' spot outright.
Right. Could happen.
You know, it could happen, and he could honestly take Colin White's spot too. If White, you know, is playing like he did tonight, which was, you know, not good, you know, not good enough, and you know, maybe they'll decide to go with Demers and Braun together at some point and give that a shot and see if that's the answer back there. Frazier McLaren is also back, dude. He played against LA not very well. Yeah. About 4 minutes. He took a penalty. He plays 4 minutes. He sits for 2 minutes. Congrats. Right.
Yeah.
Frazier McLaren, what's his role on this team? Does he even have one? Does he have a future in this organization anymore? Or is he just dead weight?
I think he's on the left side. He's playing left out. He doesn't seem to have a place on this team right now. I mean, can you say he's certainly not better than Brad Winchester, and he seems to be the guy that would be the obvious replacement.
Yeah.
The guy that's willing to get a little rough. He's a pretty big guy. Who else would he replace other than Brad Winchester?
It seems to me like if Desjardins, Murray, or Winchester got hurt, we would see Mashinter, Ferriero, or Wingles before we'd see McLaren.
That's, yeah.
You know, I think they'd bring somebody back up. I think they're stalling. McLaren has already passed through waivers, I think, to go down or to come back or no, you know what? I'm sorry.
He was on
a conditioning assignment. So if they're going to send him back down, he's got to go through waivers. So maybe they're afraid they're going to lose him.
Maybe.
But who cares?
I don't want to be that cavalier about it. I would not be super stoked if McLaren was picked up by another team, but I think the likelihood of that is not great.
Right, but now you're just sort of holding on to him to hold on to him, you know, and I guess for right now it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
But at some point when Nidamaki comes back, you're going to have to make some tough decisions, and that's actually where I'm going next, dude, is Nidamaki is practicing. That's coming up here in the next couple weeks where he's going to go do his conditioning assignment. They can keep him down in Worcester, I think, for, I don't know, a week or two. I think
that's about
2 weeks. And then, you know, at some point in the new year, you know, I think it's going to be January. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to make a decision. You know, do they carry three goalies, New York Islander Garth Snow style? Mm-hmm. I love goalies. I'll collect them. Or are they going to have to make a decision on Nidamaki or Greiss and send one of them down? Now, I think we're going to try and look to see what Greiss's waiver status was. Did we ever figure that out?
No, we didn't. I will create a blog post in the next few days about that and try and codify what's going to happen with Greiss and if he is waiver exempt or not. But to me, I don't think you make Greiss, if he is waiver eligible, if he does have to go through waivers, then you don't put him on waivers, in my opinion. I know goalies have not been that popular, and it's not been that easy to get rid of goalies, and there's a few out there right now. But Greiss, I don't think you want to get rid of Greiss. Nidamaki's on his last year of his deal. Greiss is considerably cheaper, and I'm trying to forget Greiss's performance tonight. But the thing is that I think you got to keep Greiss around. I don't think you trade him. And if someone swoops in and says, hey, I really want Nidamaki, then I think you entertain that possibility. But I think you keep Greiss at this point. And if that means you can't send him down to Worcester, then that's what it means. You carry three goalies, so that's what you have to do.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Even as bad as Greiss was tonight, and he was terrible, he hasn't been like that all year.
No.
He had a bad game, and I certainly wouldn't expect him to go forward with that. But Nidamaki has demonstrated no ability to be a number one goalie in his year and a half here, either through injuries or just not any sort of outstanding play in between the pipes. So you can't just say, okay, well, you're back and you're making lots of money. And if they have to make a call, I think you waive Nidamaki because I think it's a lock, dude, that no one's going to pick him up.
That's right.
At $2 million, no one's going to take him.
I think you're right.
No one's going to take him. But then the problem is you now have him sitting down in Worcester where you've got Sexsmith and Sateri. You don't want Nidamaki taking their minutes.
No.
I mean, you're supposed to be developing these players. You already have Alex Stalock. He's going to come back at some point this year, right? Maybe at the end?
At the very end.
So then you've got four guys down there?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're trying to, like, split rock, paper, scissors, you know, who's going to play tonight?
I don't know what you're doing.
Seems like a mess. So someone might have to go at some point, one of the goalies. You can't even send someone to Stockton because that's where Heemskerk is. Mm-hmm. And they've also got this kid, maybe you've heard of him, Oliver Waugh, you know, playing in Stockton.
Wow.
So I don't think that they're looking for a goalie either.
No.
You know, they're kind of stacked. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that problem. Because if Nidamaki comes back, the Sharks keep Greiss and McLaren, they've got $274,000 of cap space.
Mm.
So they're completely hamstrung.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening, dude.
They're going to find a way to clear some.
Yeah, they're going to find a way, dude.
All right, dude.
Let's really quickly, we're going to do, you want to talk about the Ducks or you want to do our quarter awards?
Let's talk about the Ducks and do quarter awards next podcast.
Sounds like a good plan, dude.
It's fun to talk about how the Ducks suck.
Yeah.
No, that's really
gets old.
It's always enjoyable.
So the Ducks can Randy Carlyle after a win, which is hilarious.
Right.
And he delivers this whole speech and then walks down the hall and Bob Murray, who's completely ruined that team, now fires him, you know, after giving him a 3-year contract extension.
He's trying to save his own butt, basically.
Well,
Bob Murray.
I guess so, but I don't know. If you're the owner of the Ducks, how could you trust this man at this point? You know, he's traded your iconic player in Chris Pronger and mm-hmm. has got nothing in return.
Right.
And then he gives a contract extension to a coach that gets canned 24 games of the year. Stupid.
Yeah.
Just stupid. And they replace him with Bruce Boudreau,
who got canned by Washington like 2 days by Washington, ago.
And now he's in. And I loved watching their first game and seeing that absolutely nothing's changed. That the Ducks go up 3. I don't know if it was 3-0, but they were leading for most of the game, at least 3-1. And then they coughed it up and lost. So
it was great.
It was pretty great. So thoughts on Boudreau in Anaheim?
Well, we were talking about this, and this is, I mean, from a Bob Murray perspective, this is the worst possible thing that can happen because Getzlaff, Perry, and Bobby Ryan are basically in the prime of their careers, and everybody else in that team sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't completely suck, but they suck for the roles that they're slotted in.
The collection of players is not good together. No.
So you're basically going to have the current Hart Trophy winner, one of the best centers in the NHL, and a great young player taking number two behind Sidney Crosby as your top line, and they have no help. Their goalie's got vertigo problems. They waived a really good goalie who's making $7 billion a year in Philadelphia now. I mean, they screwed that whole team. I mean, basically, they have to rebuild the rest of that team while their best players are in the prime of their careers. So basically, they're going to be burning 2 or 3 years of these players' best years in order to find a way to build a team to get back to the playoffs.
And you know what I think?
What?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
I would be so frustrated if I was
a fan of the Ducks right now because, I mean, Getzlaff and Perry and Ryan, there's nothing wrong with those guys.
Right.
Those guys are great. And you hear all these rumors about Bobby Ryan getting traded for David Krejci. It's like, no, thank you. I would not make that trade for David Krejci. I mean, they gave him like $5 million a year and he's a 50, 60 point player.
It's so screwed up. Yeah. I don't even want to guess what they're going to try and do. But what I do want you to guess right now is, do you think Randy Carlyle will coach again this year, Bruce Boudreau style? And if so, where?
No chance.
No chance?
No chance.
Why?
I mean, I know he coached the Cup winner when Anaheim won the Cup like 3 years ago, but he's never really... I mean, Bruce Boudreau was coach of the year 1 year, right? He came into Washington. He turned that team around in a year. He won the Jack Adams Award. You see, he sort of put himself on the map. You think of like great coaches in the NHL. How long is that conversation before you get to Randy Carlyle?
Oh, gosh. It's
pretty long.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think you're underestimating the value of Randy Carlyle. I think he is a well-respected coach that about... You know, a good portion of the teams in the NHL would rather have of their current coach.
He's disrespected, but especially since lately in the past few years, you've seen a trend to younger, unproven NHL coaches. I mean, Dale Hunter is a good example. I mean, the Caps brought in Dale Hunter, an ex-NHL player. You know, we have Peter DeBoer in Florida. That didn't really work out, but we have Guy Boucher, who sort of did work out. It seems
sort of.
I mean, we'll talk about Tampa next week. But I think that maybe teams aren't getting super afraid of hiring more risky coaches. It seems before there was always this pool of coaches and you just sort of turn the crank and see which right. like washed up coach would fall out. It's like, right. oh, I turned the crank. Oh, I guess we're hiring Mike Keenan.
I don't blame Carlisle for what happened in Anaheim.
No.
They took away all his players. They're all gone.
Right.
Like he had such a great set of toys there with Paulson and Moen and Niedermeyer and Pronger and Niedermeyer again. And
right.
Like that was his team and they were mean and they were terrible.
Right.
And I hated them.
Right.
Like and now I just think they're funny. Like a sad clown.
Right.
And that was not his team.
No.
The one that he got fired for coaching, they got rid of them all. It's like trying to ask a bunch of guys who aren't able to play that style of hockey to play it. It's not his fault.
It's like, hey, Lucas Pisa, you're the number three now. It's yeah. like, what?
No, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And on some level, I'm sure he's disappointed, but he's got to be happy. But, to be
okay,
out
there. So assuming that Carlisle is in the back of certain GM's minds, like where would he land?
Well, this is
Montreal.
Yes, that's my call.
How is he any different than Jacques Martin?
Well, he's a different
same.
Voice, but he's a different.
The same.
Well, but it's a different voice, and I think that's where some
it doesn't have a French accent, but it's the same coaching style.
Oh yes, oh. I think Montreal is about. See, now the thing with Montreal really is if they wanted to make a coaching change, they're probably totally kicking themselves because they could have had Kirk Muller.
Yeah.
And that would have been like a real big splash for them and their community. And they blew it because Carolina took him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking to get a new coach, who is better out there right now than Randy Carlisle? I mean, who's better? I mean, you've got who's coaching what? Craig McTavish is coaching mm-hmm. out there somewhere in I think in Chicago at the AHL, but obviously he was passed over for Carolina mm-hmm. and passed over for Anaheim, and he was passed over for Winnipeg and a bunch of other jobs this summer.
Right. Minnesota.
I think Carlisle has probably already been contacted by Columbus. And if I'm him, I would say absolutely not. He's got a free payday.
That's
sit
true.
Home. The second he gets hired by another team, he doesn't get that check anymore from the Ducks.
But the problem with it with the Columbus thing, and we're getting way late in the
doesn't
podcast.
Matter, dude. We've gone hours.
The thing is, I don't think you can turn down an NHL coaching job.
Sure, you can.
I don't think you want to. Well, if he ever wants to coach again, and Columbus offers him the job, and he's like, nah, I'd rather sit on my giant mountain of cash. Then other teams would be like,
God,
what?
I
don't see that happening.
If you're him, like, why would you want to
because
even
they
go
have,
there?
Because they have pieces.
They do?
I think Columbus has
the... No. Pieces of
I guess I'm going to have to bleep that. I mean, they got Ryan Carter. They got James. They gained all these guys.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster now.
Oh. Yeah, I thought they were going to take a step forward, but they are... A mess.
I think they have the pieces to take this
total mess.
Maybe Randy Carlisle's the answer. Who knows?
Oh, wow.
I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, you're saying Columbus. I'm saying Montreal.
No, I'm not saying anything. Oh, I don't think Randy Carlisle gets hired this year.
Okay.
No chance.
I like it.
But I also like the fact that the Ducks are terrible, and I don't think if Bruce Boudreau takes them to the playoffs, he's coach of the year again.
Dude, let's go another 17 minutes.
No. We're never going to crack the hour mark, dude.
We have.
No, we've never done that.
We haven't?
No.
What's the longest we've ever gone?
Like 50?
Ooh.
Dude, we're calling this. I'm cutting the cord right here.
You're cutting the cord? Are you making a baby joke right now, dude?
Dude, I am not. That's just it's a figure of speech.
Are you saying you're going to come in and cut the cord? Because I'm not going to let that happen.
I will do that if you need me to.
No.
I'd be freaked out by that.
No.
Gross.
Absolutely
out.
Not, dude.
Dude.
You stay out of there.
Go Sharks.